I'm going to talk to you about the clouds here a little bit and explain to you the clouds in the scriptures. And why I'm doing this is that the clouds are a sign of His coming. They're a sign of the Lord's presence, and they're a sign of what God, that's how He manifested Himself to His people, was through the cloud. So I know it sounds kind of funny, but it'll make sense to you as we go through the scriptures, okay? We're going to start in the book of Exodus. And actually, I mean, honestly, you could start in Genesis chapter 9 when the Bible talks about Noah and after Noah. And the sign that He gave was the bow and the cloud. Remember that? The sign that He gave as far as He would not flood the earth or destroy the earth was the bow in the cloud. So, you know, you could use that too as a typology or whatever if you'd like to. But we don't build our doctrine on types. They just kind of back up what we believe. But we're going to show you clearly from Scripture God's presence in the clouds. Now, there's a lot of scriptures here, so we're going to pray and get right into it. Father, I pray You bless us now. Dear Lord, thank You for Your mercy and Your goodness to us, Lord. Thank You for the sweet fellowship of believers, Lord. I just pray that You'd bless this message, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Show us from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about in the clouds here. Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 21. It says here, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So we see here that God is following Israel. God is showing Israel the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? To one, He's a cloud. To the other, He's going to be fire. When you see that with the Egyptians, too, by the way, that's when God... Well, anyway, we'll get to that. Hold on. Exodus chapter 14. I'm getting ahead of myself. Exodus chapter 14. I know you're saying, what does this have to do with the tribulation times? And what does that do with the coming of the Lord? A lot. And you're going to see as we go that it has a lot to do with it. It's a sign of His coming. It's a sign of His coming. See, unfortunately, there are those that would have you believe that this coming is a secret coming. But it's not a secret. Not to us. Again, that day does not overtake us like a thief in the night. Because we're not of the night. We're of the day. Amen? We're of the day. We're not of the night. We're not overtaken. We're not fooled. We're not tricked. Don't you see? That's what He's saying. Be not deceived. Let no man deceive you. He is saying as you go through the Scripture, you see these signs. Hey, they're going to say, here's Christ or there's Christ. But we're not going to believe it. Why? Because He wrote it in His Word. He said, no, that's not me. I told you what will happen when you see me. What? The sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven. That's how you know it's me. Not the sorcery, the magic, and the witchcraft that will fill the earth. That's not me. No, that's not me. Yeah, there'll be... what does he call it? Paul calls it lying signs and wonders. Why are they lying? Because the true sign has been told to us. The sun darkened, the moon not giving her light, and behold, He cometh in the clouds. That's how we know it's Him. Satan even tries to blaspheme this, and we'll get to that in a second. Okay, Exodus chapter 14. Maybe a few seconds, it'll take a while. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 19. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Again, it's a sign of the Lord. It's a sign of God's moving, that cloud, right? You see that again? And in verse number 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Yeah, you see it? You see the double-sided coin? See it? Interesting, isn't it? Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. I think that's neat. It says He looked through the fire. And what did He do to them? He troubled them. He looked through the pillar. Looked through the cloud. All right. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 10. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Remember, the reason for this, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. And for ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill us, the whole assembly." Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven." But this upset the Lord. It made him very angry, because they murmured against God. So what did he say? He appeared. The glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever." And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Isn't that neat? He appears in the cloud. And what does he say to him? "I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever." Exodus chapter 19, verse number 9. He goes on to say in verse number 10, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mountain, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mountain shall be surely put to death. There shall not any hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it is beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, "Be ready against the third day, and come not at your wives." And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. A loud trumpet. The voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Yeah, of the trumpet. Yeah. The cloud, the trumpet. Amen? All right. "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." What do we remember? Wait, didn't we hear about the heavens and the signs in the heavens, and when he comes, what it says is going to shake the earth, and things are going to be shaken, right? "When the voice of the trumpet sounded," it says here, "and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up." So Moses went up into the cloud to speak to the Lord. In Exodus chapter 24, verse number 15, "And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount." Yeah, amen. We're going to go up too. That's right. Yeah, amen. Exodus chapter 24, verse number 16, "The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud." Verse number 18, "And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights." Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 9. Are you seeing a pattern here of the cloud in the presence of the Lord? "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses." You know, that wasn't a secret. It wasn't a mystery. It wasn't a secret. He didn't hide it from anybody. Right? He didn't hide it from the children of Israel. He didn't hide it from his children, did he? Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 10. "And the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door." Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Again, descended in the cloud. It says the Lord did that, right? Exodus chapter 40, verse number 3. By the way, that also proves that Jesus is God, too. But you'll see that a little bit later. Exodus chapter 40, verse number 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. See that? Boy, that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You know what that means? You know what that means right there? It means if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you got no room to be filled with yourself. There's no room for you and I when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no room for what we want and what we like and have it our way when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God fills you. There's no room to get you inside there. Amen. It's all about Him on the throne. That's right. Exodus chapter 40 and verse number 35. Did I just do that one? Or is that just a... the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Verse number 36. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse number 2. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 2. Are you seeing this? The Lord is in the cloud. He says over and over again. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place with the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. You see, we're invited by the Lord as being saved. We're going to be brought up to Him to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. By the way, that's in the clouds, and He comes in a cloud. Right? See that? Clouds, He comes in a cloud. We meet Him in the clouds. Yeah. Magic tricks? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Satan does too. We're going to get to him in a second here. He does the same thing. Numbers chapter 9 and verse number 17. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Verse number 18. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. Numbers chapter 9, verse 19. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. Numbers chapter 10, verse number 34. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day, and when they went out the camp, and the Lord came down in a cloud. I'm sorry, Numbers 11, verse number 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders, and it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. So God came and He gave His power. He came down and put the Spirit that He had put on Moses on the 70 elders that were there in the cloud. And the cloud departed, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, as Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. So now we see that the Lord in the cloud, He pronounces judgment on one from the cloud. And He struck her with leprosy. Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 42. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. Behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. See, this is what God was upset, because they were going to stone Moses and Aaron. And they were going to go back to Egypt and go be slaves again. How about that? You know, sometimes there's Christians that want to do that too, isn't there? You know what? Stone the preacher and get back to Egypt. Go back into the world. Don't want to deal with this anymore. Get out of here. Amen. It's easy to do in your own heart, by the way. It's real easy for us to do sometimes. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 11. And you came near and stood under the mountain. And the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. Are you paying attention to this? Look what he says here. And you came near and stood upon under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. What did we learn would happen when the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven? What is that? Thick darkness and the cloud. It's the presence of God. That's right. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. Wow. You know, it's interesting how you have fire, cloud, and thick darkness. God doesn't change. That's right. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 15. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. In Deuteronomy, it's the re-giving of the law. So he's telling it over again. He's giving that again to them, which is why you and I are supposed to teach our children over and over again the law of God. We're to teach them the law of God over and over again. Why? Because they need it. And God said to do that in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, you do this. You teach your children. Teach them the law of God. Why? Because the law is a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. Let me tell you something right now, friend. If all you're doing is having a Bible time with your kids and teaching them Jesus saves, and that's all you're doing, you are doing them a great disservice. Because they first must know that there is a law of God and that they have broken God's law. They will never understand a need for Christ if they do not understand their breaking of the law. That's why God told them to give them the law. Teach them the law. Why? Because the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That every mouth may be stopped, that all the world become guilty before God. And you got these people out here preaching today that are not preaching the law of God to anybody. And they're not bringing them under the law of God, the curse of the law. You got to bring people under the curse of the law first. They'll never come to Christ if they don't need him. Or if they will, it'll be vain repetition. It'll be vain. It won't be real. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 8. We're moving ahead here. Think you ever get out of Exodus and Deuteronomy, did you? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 10. This is the time of Solomon here. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. There's that cloud again. So that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. God was showing his presence at the clouds. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in thick darkness. See that? Yeah. Who's able to stand in that day? Yep, that's right. Right. It says here that the Lord in thick darkness, that he would dwell in thick darkness. Isn't it interesting? That's good stuff. All right. And then let's see here. So that all the priests, okay, then speak Solomon. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. All right, so he was explaining what he was doing when he was building the temple there. All right, Job chapter 22 and verse number 12. Job has a lot of interesting things that he says. And by the way, Job is the oldest book of the Bible. And it's interesting that all of the things that he says about creation, about how things were accomplished, how things went down, how it happened, all that kind of stuff. It's just fascinating to me when I read it. Job chapter 22, verse 12. Is not God in the height of heaven? That's talking about another dimension, okay? That's talking about the fourth dimension, okay? Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, how doth God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? See it? Thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. That's good, isn't it? Boy, think about that for a little while. Thick clouds, God in there, walking in the circuit of heaven. Wow. Job chapter 26 and verse number 9. He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. The Lord in the cloud. Psalm 68 verse 34. Ascribe ye strength unto the Lord, unto God, excuse me. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Psalm 97 verse 2. Clouds, this is good, turn there. Psalm 97 verse 2, if you're not there yet, I'll give you a chance to get there. It just keeps getting better and better here. Psalm 97 verse number 2. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Psalm 104 verse 3. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Behold, he cometh in the clouds. Amen. Wow. Isn't that something? Who layeth the beams of his chambers and waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. We just have no idea the entirety of that statement. We will know one day though, amen? But we don't know now. Psalm 104 verse 3. Oops, I just did that one, didn't I? So Isaiah 14, 14. Now you're going to see somebody that has an idea about clouds too. It's Satan. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 14. Here's what he says. This is Lucifer speaking, Satan speaking. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, why would he want to ascend above the heights of the clouds? Because he wants to sit in the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. He wants to be like the Most High. Because Jesus comes in a cloud. Because God descends in a cloud. Because he did in Israel's time. And he did and he will do it again in our time. Whenever the Lord decides to come back, when that time is, he will do it at that time. And Satan wants to ascend above the clouds. Right. He wants to go above that cloud. Why? Because the clouds are where God dwells. That's how he comes back, in the clouds. That's how you know. Now, he's also, Satan has will do a lot of lying signs and wonders. And this is him saying five different times how he was going to be God. Five different times in there, you can read that for yourself, in Isaiah chapter 14, five different times he says how he's going to usurp God. He's going to be like the Most High. And one of the ways he's going to do that is he will ascend above the heights of the clouds. But when he goes up, he's going to get knocked back down. He's going to have himself a war with Michael. And he's going to get kicked out. And woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Because he's going to be mad as hell. Especially when hell comes up too. That's another story that we don't have time to talk about. But that's the fourth kingdom. Amen? When some things get locked out of that bottomless pit there. when the key comes and unlocks that pit. Isaiah chapter 19 and verse number 1. I'm sure thank the Lord I'm saved. Amen. Isaiah chapter 19 and verse number 1. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud. That's Him. That's the Lord. Amen. He rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at His presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 13. Behold, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 13. Behold, He shall come up as clouds, and His chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. Amen. Lamentations 2, verse number 1. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in His anger, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not His footstool in the day of His anger. Interesting, isn't it? Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. And also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Now, the four Gospels, yeah. Also, these cherubim, which is what these are, and we've talked about UFOs, we've talked about a few of those things. You might think we're crazy, but study it out. You'll be interested in it. Amen. It's an interesting study, whether you agree with it completely or not. There's something going on there, and it really describes what a lot of people have seen. But anyway, those cherubims are what? They're the presence of God. When Solomon built the temple, what did he build before it? Cherubims. They spread their wings. They touched the cherubs. They touched. Why? To cover the throne. Satan was the anointed, is the anointed cherub that covereth. For I have set thee so. He didn't lose any power yet. He hasn't lost any power. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He didn't say thou wast the anointed cherub. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. He said that Satan walked amidst the stones of fire. That he walked in there. And maybe does still. I'm not sure. All I know is that he hasn't lost any power. I'll tell you that. He's still walking. He's still doing. He's going to and fro, up and down. Amen. Then you have some people try to say, well, that's when it says the sons of God, that doesn't really mean angels. That just meant Christians that were praying. Really? So Satan's with them while they're praying or what? They're all just hanging out or what? They're having a party or what? The sons of God came to appear before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, when I pray, I just take a trip up to the throne real quick. And Satan's right next to me, and we're just, hey, how you doing? It's just a goofy interpretation. Okay. People do a lot of things to explain away the spiritual world. They really get scared of that spiritual world. They really want to explain away the Bible and explain. Well, you know what? I guess when the lying signs and wonders come and you see a lot of bad stuff, maybe you'll start believing this book then. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe you'll be fooled too. Because if you talk to the average Baptist pastor today, you wouldn't think there was a spiritual world. You wouldn't think there was devil possession. You wouldn't think there was any of those things. You wouldn't think there was even spiritual warfare. Because I've been in churches for 12 years, and this is the only place I've ever heard anything about spiritual warfare. I've never heard anywhere else. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I've never heard anywhere else. Besides some preachers that are out there that I listen to online, but it's a very select few around the country that'll even talk about it because they're afraid of being kooks. but they're not preparing people for spiritual war either. They can't explain Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 6. They can't explain those things. They don't explain those things. They don't explain those four, the principalities and powers of spiritual wickedness in high places and all. They don't explain those things. It's glossed over. Well, you better get explaining it because it's real and it's coming soon. And we're seeing the demonic activity now. And you better believe this preacher believes there's devil-possessed people. I've seen them. I know they're real. Amen. Let's see, Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face and heard a voice of one that spake. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like something Moses said. Ezekiel chapter 30, verse number 3. Ooh. This will be interesting. Ezekiel chapter 30 and verse number 3. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. A cloudy day, it shall be the time of the heathen. Ezekiel chapter 32 and verse number 7. Ezekiel 32, verse number 7. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. Hey, we've heard that before. Daniel chapter 7. Please. Daniel chapter 7. I know it's a lot of scripture. I'm not screaming a lot at you. There's a lot of Bible today. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 12. As concerning, I like the book of Daniel, by the way. Because Daniel, if you can understand the book of Daniel concerning the end times, Daniel, Thessalonians, and Revelation, and put it all together, you can get a good understanding. And Matthew 24. You get a really good understanding of what's taking place. And if you compare that scripture with scripture and you put it side by side, it'll make a lot of sense to you. Amen. As concerning the, Daniel chapter 7 verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Amen. That's the Lord coming to rule and reign. Amen. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 12, or chapter 2, verse number 2, sorry. Joel 2, 2. You remember these clouds, sign of his coming, the clouds. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 2, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Again, the clouds. Again, the gloominess, the darkness, the thick darkness coming in the clouds. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse number 15. Now again, here's that double-sided coin again, right? For us, a day of reward. For them, a day of wrath. Watch this. That day is a day of wrath. Zephaniah 1:15. A day of trouble and distress. a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. I mean, he's explaining to you. He's showing you what the signs of his coming are. He's telling you all through the scriptures what the signs of his coming are. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the clouds in thick darkness. Amen. Go ahead, read it.
The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty men shall cry their victory.
Amen. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5. Now, this is into the book of Matthew. Now we're into the New Testament here, and we're seeing the Lord. We're seeing Jesus Christ here in Matthew chapter 17. And notice what happens here. Well, let me turn there too. Matthew chapter 17. I've got it in my notes, but we'll. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, the one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. There's the cloud. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. See the cloud? Interesting, isn't it? Now turn to Matthew chapter 24. There's that Matthew 24 again. You know that book that wasn't written to you? Hyperdispensationalists will tell you, no, this is the Old Testament. That's all in the Old Testament. Okay. Huh? What's that? Yeah, that's what a lot of, they say, that's the Old Testament. That's not for the church. Well, if it's not for the church, then why was he giving directions to the church? Kind of weird, isn't it? Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 30. Oh, verse number 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Folks, there is no other coming. This is how he comes. I mean, he comes in the clouds. It's not a secret coming. Yeah, it's not a secret. Oh, it's a secret. You're just not going to know it, and boom, it's going to be a secret. Well, then... It sure doesn't match up when you start reading scripture for scripture, this secret. No, it's not very clear like that. It doesn't seem like a secret anymore. Amen. All right, turn to Matthew chapter 26. Verse number 62. Oh, actually, verse number 59. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came 2 false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, I love that answer. Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness of him? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered. Why were they so mad? Why were they so mad about that? Well, who comes in the cloud? God. So, and what did they crucify him for? Because he said he was God. And what sign did he give that he was God? He said, you're going to see me come in the clouds. He didn't mention anything in that text about anything else but what was just said there. But what made them mad and what made them so angry? Listen to what he said. He said, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. God comes in the clouds. Yeah. Amen. Mark chapter 9, please. Hey, we're almost done. Mark chapter 9. We've already referenced this before, but we'll read it again. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Okay, there's another witness to that. Mark chapter 13 and verse number 26. I mean, Jesus was very good at making the Pharisees mad. He was really good at it. Mark chapter 13, verse number 26. Well, verse number 25. Again, we've seen this before. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Again, sun darkened, moon not giving her light, Son of Man coming in the clouds. So somebody says, well, you're just... no. There's no way to know when the Lord's coming back. It could be any time. Well, not before these things happen. Not unless you see these things. Amen. Not unless you see these things. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We've read this before. And it came to pass that they departed from him. Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. So we've seen this again. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Wow, here it says they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Wow, they didn't tell us that in the rest of this one. They actually entered into the cloud. So they, wow, that's kind of neat, isn't it? Anyway. Acts chapter 1. This one kind of always bothered me. You know, when I started to study this out, this is one of the ones that bothered me. Okay? Because these people don't, okay, here's what I'm supposed to believe by what people tell me, or have told me in the past. I'm not being unkind to anybody, I'm just telling you this is how my thought process, okay? But, okay. So, they were, according to most Baptists that believe, you know, in church perpetuity, they believe the history of the Baptists, they believe that Jesus founded his church. Mark chapter 16, or Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 18, that's the church. Those men transformed back into Israel, like transformers, in Mark chapter 24, or Matthew chapter 24. They transformed back into that. And then, in Acts chapter 1, they transfer back into the same thing too. Because now they're Israel again. Do you understand what I mean by that? Have you heard that interpretation before? Because that's the one that I'm getting. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm just saying that it doesn't make sense. When you're trying to make sense of, wait a minute, I thought this was some secret rapture, but that's not what Jesus said here. So I want to read you what Jesus said, and you take it from there. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, refresh my memory. The apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ being the cornerstone, chief cornerstone, are the foundation of the church. Right? We believe that because the Bible says that. They're the foundation of the church. That's what the Bible says. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. Well, Israel was, or the church was? Amen? Israel or the church are the witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth? Well, Israel isn't witnessing to the uttermost part of the earth for Jesus Christ. Before I get accused, oh, you hate Israel. No, I don't. I'm just reading what the Bible says. That's what it says. I'm reading what it says here. So either we're the witnesses, the churches are the witnesses, or they're not. You can't have it both. You can't make this double here, okay? You can't have it both ways. When it suits your interpretation, you turn it into Israel. When it suits your interpretation, when it fits your program, you turn it into the church. But when it fits your other program, you turn it into Israel. You can't do that. You can't do that. You have to be consistent. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Boy, that had to be a cool scene, didn't it? Think about that. You're standing there, and all of a sudden, there he goes up in the cloud. Amen. Now, watch this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, now I can understand this. I really can't understand why they were doing this. I mean, they were like, and I mean, I don't know how long they were doing that. The scripture doesn't say, but I mean, I know I'd probably be doing it for hours. Like, is he coming back? I mean, he's just going up real quick and coming back or what? I want to see that again. I mean, right? You would be doing that. I mean, that's what I would be doing. I wouldn't be like, okay, let's get out of here. I'm telling you what, they'd still be standing there if those angels didn't come to them. They'd still be standing there till they died. I know I would be. Wouldn't you if we were all standing around there and all of a sudden there goes Jesus right up in the cloud? And then what happened? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Huh. I wonder who these two men were. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Well, I mean, but look why he said that. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. You paying attention? Not another Jesus. Not another Christ. Not an antichrist, not a false prophet, not a lying sign and wonder, not a secret way, not an invisible way. But what does it say? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I mean, that's very specific language. I want to read that verse again to you. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, I'm going to back up and read verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Okay? So remember that. They told them that very specifically. That's what was going to happen. All right? Now, I thought this was very interesting. The next reference to cloud that we see, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 17. It's the next reference. If you study it, it's the next, and look it up and type it in, it's the next reference. Unless I missed one somehow, which I don't think I did. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Okay. 4, verse number 17. Actually, we can read. Let's read back to 14. Well, actually 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, why won't we prevent them? Well, because they're going to go before us. And then we're going to be there, and he's going to come with them. Because they're going up. Right? That's what it says, right? But notice, remember those verses when we looked at them earlier, when it talked about the trump of God, how they heard the trumpet of God when the cloud came in Israel and they heard the trumpet of God. Do you remember that? The voice of a trumpet. Remember that? And it was loud, and that's all they could hear. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, that's why we won't prevent them. We're not going to stop them. They're going to go up before us. Amen? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Where's he at? Behold, he cometh in the clouds. He shall, remember, what did it say? The same way you've seen him go into heaven, he shall so in like manner. Also, you'll see him return that same way. So he'll come back the same way. Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. When he had spoken these things, yet they behold, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly, he said, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you've seen him go in heaven. So he said the same way. Okay, so when is that? Right here. What does it say? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's going to be in the clouds. Behold, he cometh in the cloud. Behold, he cometh in the clouds, right? That's what it says, isn't it? Same manner. Now, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7 really explains it. I like this. When you remember this, look at the exact words. You were just in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Together with them in the clouds, right? Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him. Now, how is every eye going to see him? Well, you know, when the sun's darkened and the moon doesn't give her light and stars fall from heaven and the powers of the earth, the powers of heaven be shaken, you know, when, I mean, it's, Right. So, I mean, when you see that, I mean, every eye is going to see that. Is that possible? Yeah, God said it was. Amen? God said it was. But notice what he said, though. Together with them in the clouds, behold, he cometh with clouds. It's pretty easy. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 10:1. Yeah. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Where have we heard that? We've heard that before in Scripture describing Christ, his feet as pillars of fire. We've heard that before. That's been explained to us before. So we understand that. Amen? Scripture will explain it. Scripture, that's how it works. Amen? Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. There's the cloud again. What's that? Yeah. Third heaven. Mm-hmm. And their enemies beheld them. I like that though, the cloud. There's the cloud again. The sign of God. Sign of God's work. Revelation 14:14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Amen. And then verse number 16. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle in the earth, and the earth was reaped. So, I mean, we don't have time to get in and explain all those verses to you, but we will in the weeks to come. There's more to explain. But anyway, the ones you can concentrate on, by the way, are the ones with the clouds, of the Lord coming in the cloud. And that's his sign. There are signs. So when some people say, there is no sign of his coming. Really? I mean, he says there is. What shall be the sign of thy coming in Matthew chapter 24? There are signs. Oh, no, it's a secret. No, it's not a secret. There is no secret. It's very clear. Very clear to those that believe on Christ. Very clear to those who are born again. The day of Christ will not be a secret. The day of the Lord is not a secret. They're going to see it. They're going to know it. And again, I mean, when it talks about, I mean, you can do a study. There's also, you know, different studies that you can do. And I believe it's, you know, things to kind of study out, which will kind of surprise you. In Matthew chapter 28, like I told you, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, if we're not here for that, then why would he say it? Now, we may not be. We may die, you know. But those that follow after us, you know, will be, the Bible says. But it's very clear. Swaddled. Yeah. Like the clouds. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So 38 says that work on the foundation there of fast, and but who laid the cornerstone thereof? Did you know Christ is the cornerstone?
Mm-hmm.
When the morning stars come together and all of a sudden God shouted for joy, but who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth, as it had issued out of the womb, when I made the clouds the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling band.
Wow.
Again, the swaddling band.
Yep.
A cloud with a garment, and thick darkness with a swaddling band. Jesus came and swaddled in clothes.
Amen.
Because that's why, because he's Christ, he's God.
That's right.
He came in darkness. And a cloud.
That's right. I mean, so you see, what are the signs? What are the signs then of his coming? The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and he'll come in the cloud. Yeah, with thick darkness. That's what the Bible says. Now, when does that happen? When does the Bible say that? When do we read today that happens? Right, after the falling away and the son of perdition, but what point in that period of tribulation will that happen? The sixth seal, that's right. That's when that all starts. That's when it kicks off. That's when it really gets heated and kicks off. And that's when the wrath comes. Remember, the day of Christ and the day of the Lord is like a double-sided coin. It's the same thing, only one is a day of reward, the other is a day of wrath. That's the difference. One is a day of reward for those that are in Christ. One is a day of wrath for those that are not in Christ. Right, for the lost. And, it's a good study. I mean, we've got more to do. We're going to talk about the day of the Lord, what the Bible says happens in the day of the Lord. There's a lot that happens there. And we'll cover Matthew chapter 24 as well. And actually what I'm going to do is do a parallel Matthew 24 and Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21 and kind of put them all together and try to teach you from all three of those at the same time, bouncing back and forth, comparing Scripture with Scripture. And we do have to, I don't want to end this series either without getting into the book of Daniel and explaining Daniel. I think it's 7, 8, and 9. And we could even go back into 2 and explain that fourth kingdom, because that's the time all that's going to take place. So, we'll kind of explain that too. But there's a lot more to go. We're not done yet. We just got started. We had three more today. We had one on Wednesday. That was four. So we have seven messages so far into this, and we're not done yet. So we got a lot more to go. All this is giving Brother Russ time to get his sermon series ready. Yeah, but anyway, so praise the Lord. But I hope you learned something. Go home and listen to these again and study them. You know, no, this isn't the most important thing that we need to know, but it is very important. I mean, obviously the gospel and everything else and doing the work of the Lord. But for the church to be ready to be ready to suffer persecution, be ready to understand what's ahead. I mean, these are days of apostasy right now, the falling away. I believe it's on the way. I mean, I believe strong delusion is already being seen in a lot of areas. And, you know, the times are coming. Amen. And we need to be ready for them. So that's the purpose of understanding the will of God. And so much the more the Bible says, as you see the day approaching, that we need to be together and be strong. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord. We pray you'd bless the rest of the afternoon. Give folks a good afternoon with their families. And thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Lord, help us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.